You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a mystical, spiritual community radiating light and love, transforming consciousness. Our mission is healing lives, building dreams, and realizing God. Now, Senior Minister, Reverend Carolyn Mathlin.
Good morning. And welcome to Unity of Tustin. Welcome home to Unity of Tustin. I love today's daily words. Home is where you show up and they have to welcome you. And we don't have to welcome you. We get to welcome you. It is our privilege, our honor, our joy to greet you. It's my privilege, honor, and joy to greet you. And all of you, everything belongs. The Christ within, the human part, all of it. And so, just really feeling you this morning in our connection and our community. And as we begin our service, I'd like to invite one of our prayer chaplains and our AIF prayer team members to come forward to lead us in our opening prayer.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For only seen through your divine love can everything be known to belong as one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
So in this seventh and official final week of Adventure in Faith, I thought it would be a good idea to talk a little bit about what it means to belong. Does that feel like a relevant topic for everything belongs? You know, when I kind of look at what it means to belong, you know, what I typically associate with that is the sense of not only being connected with something, but actually letting it define kind of how I see and experience myself and the world and even God. If I kind of look back at some of the organizations that I have belonged to, even, you know, places that I have worked, I did work other places before here, you know, the friend groups that I have been a part of, those are all speaking to a quality of belonging that absolutely shapes our experience of reality. Can you understand? I mean, belonging isn't just about, you know, feeling connected. It actually influences us at a very deep level. So it becomes very important to occasionally examine what you're belonging to and how you are holding that belonging, which is really what Everything Belongs, the book by Richard Rohr that we've been working with through Adventure in Faith, is really pointing us and opening us to, is how to hold when our world falls apart, when the boxes that we've put our life in start to disintegrate, what then do we belong to? Because we are belonging still to something. And we'll typically have three reaction responses to belonging, especially in the early years. Because, you know, once our basic needs of safety and security are met when we're kids, the next thing we orient to is, who do I belong to, right? I mean, this is something, newsflash, we have a body, and as long as we have a body, we're going to also have a heart, and we're also going to have a need to stay connected. So this is a very early developmental stage where, I mean, we don't skip this, and we'll always have this, is this capacity and this need to belong. We develop it early and we stay oriented to it. Our response to that need can vary. It can vary depending on what group, kind of your meaning by or needing to belong to. It can vary by your personality type. So some of us have a general orientation to recognizing even subconsciously or unconsciously that you have a need to belong and going, no, I don't. Anyone recognize that part of them? I'm going to deny my need to belong. You people are crazy. Start to kind of check in where you might be in your general sense of belonging. You can belonging to different organizations, even to Unity of Tustin. You know, another one that's probably more where a lot of us live is this in-out of belonging. Can you feel that one? I'm in, oh no, I'm not in, I'm out. Yeah, I'm feeling connected, but no, I'm not feeling connected. No, they did something weird again. or Reverend Carolyn did something I don't like, so I'm definitely out. Oh, but now she did something I like. Okay, I'm in. Or you know, we do that. We play those games, in, out. Have you ever been in a relationship where you're in, out? How well does that really work? How far can you really go? How deep of a connection can you actually have with each other? How much can you really belong and create a sense of depth? I mean, at least with the I am not in, there's a clarity there. There's just a general separation. And some of the work that I've been doing with Patricia Albert in the Evolutionary Collective, she calls that ambivalence when we're in, out. And she talks about it like having one foot on the floor nailed down and the other one's trying to move, so you just end up going like this. Because you're ambivalent, you're in, out. And we can do that with our belonging, and when we do that, we're just spinning in a circle. We're actually not going anywhere. And we're creating a life of meaning from that spinning. And we're thinking, wow, my life is kind of spinning in a circle and I have no control over that. The final way that we can really lean into belonging is through a wholehearted yes. The other piece about the ambivalence, the spinning, can also include when we're trying to earn it in some way, when there's a manufactured belonging. Have you ever experienced that one? When something isn't quite fitting, but you're going to try and make it work. I never had this experience because I just knew that that was not my belonging group. But, you know, for those of you who have rushed for a sorority or a fraternity and you wanted to belong and, you know, maybe kind of made things work just because you wanted to belong, there was something in you that just knew it wasn't quite a fit. And for some of you, it was. So knowing that, you know, those places, you know, leaning into the truth, that's another piece of that ambivalence of not leaning into the truth and going around in a circle instead, in the in, out. When you're in the in and out also, there's a sense of you're always looking for how you can be out. I knew I didn't belong. I knew it. When we look for evidence of something, we will find it. Always. It's one of our principles. Thoughts held in mind manifest after their kind. When we are looking for evidence of something not working, something us not being good enough, whatever it may be, we will find that proof. And it will go into further affirming what we already know to be true. That's why it becomes really important to watch what you're thinking, what you're holding, especially around belonging, because belonging shapes our identity and our experience of the world and our experience of God. So then the third way that we can really experience belonging is by really having a wholehearted yes. And in that wholehearted yes, there's this generative, open-hearted embrace of truly everything belongs in a very powerful way. And so I want to talk about a couple of ways that that has come to my heart as I've been leaning into what a wholehearted yes to belonging looks like in my life. And the first one was as I was reflecting on this, I was remembering when my mom passed away about 6 years ago. And that sense of, you know, your family of origin is a really key marker of belonging, right? I mean, that's where we first typically get our sense of belonging. And for some of us, it was as Jim shared earlier, it was I'm not safe to belong here. Some of us get that. And some of us have other experiences of belonging. But our first experience of belonging typically happens in our family of origin. And mine was very positive. I loved my family of origin. And it was devastating when my mom passed away because she was the last kind of link to my family of origin and my sense of belonging at a blood family level in my life. I have a couple of more distant relatives, but that she was the last kind of living one. So my whole experience of what does it mean to belong was completely threatened and became what Richard Rohr talks about of moving into the liminal space. Something has died. The box that I had family of origin belonging to was gone. And the truth is that it will never be the same. And the insight that I've worked with over time is because originally, and he talks about this in the book, you know, when something changes in our life, our first inclination from more of a what he calls the first naivete perspective is to try and make it work within the old paradigm. That is that spinning in a circle of belonging. It's actually not taking us, because when something fundamentally shifts in our life, there is a soul question of, are we going to be able to shift with it and hold our life, hold reality differently now in a way that everything belongs? It doesn't mean everything is allowed. It means everything belongs. And in that belonging, there's a heart connection to something. There is a soul connection to life in a way that is fundamentally a yes to being alive, to being generative, to experiencing life in a positive way, in a way that is about our opening and our growing and our changing and our ability to hold our heart differently. So when my mom first passed away, a good family friend said to me, I think this is your opportunity to begin to be able to make the universe your family. I didn't want to hear that at the time. I get it now. I can feel that fundamental shift. And in the everything belongs wholehearted yes, there's a capacity to be able to hold my tender heart around the fact that my family of origin has passed. That connection is no longer here. And there is tenderness still around that on occasion. And yet, I can also hold another perspective now. Being able to hold the tenderness, the pain, the sorrow, and how that shifts and moves and opens my heart even deeper is no longer the only thing I'm focusing on. I also can hold the bigger context of, what else do I belong to now? Who else do I belong to now? It's a bigger way of holding this container, because everything belongs. The shadow and the light, the old world and the new world. A lot of times we can get stuck in wanting to still belong to an old world. A lot of the suffering in our world right now is because we are still holding on to the idea that we will have that old world. And everything belongs is an invitation to begin to see and experience it differently. The other way that I was really sitting with and holding this was a friend of mine who needed to go into recovery, and she became a friend when she came here. So she showed up one day about a year ago, and fresh off the street. She had been running in a pretty dangerous crowd, actually. And had made the decision after years of practicing, being a practicing addict, that it was time to do something different. And her family had gone through all of the things that you would go through in an Al-Anon experience of not being able to fix the person themselves, that they had to do it themselves. And the pain of that and the surrender of that. And she finally, she got to the point where she she hit her own bottom. And what's powerful about, you know, there's some people that you will just always remember. What's powerful was when she hit her own bottom, there was this fundamental something in her, this impulse for life. Because there was a story that she didn't belong anywhere. She had a loving family, she had it, but so, you know, some of these tapes just get planted. I don't belong, I don't belong. I'm not worthwhile. And eventually something in her said, no, not true. And she took a stand for life. And she took a stand for sobriety in a way that she hadn't before, and she'd been in rehab many times. So for the last year, she came every day to a meeting, pretty much, sometimes here, sometimes somewhere else. And she started attending this church. And she would check in with me occasionally and say, you know, that how much this place had transformed her life and how powerful it was. And she would talk about some of the things that she was doing and learning and experiencing. And even, you know, she would talk about, I'm getting my teeth fixed today, or my upper teeth, and I'm working on getting my lower teeth fixed. And her life was not easy. It was very difficult. She didn't drive. She, you know, she had a lot of things she needed to take care of and to clean up and to work her program. And she did. Because that impulse in her to belong, to choose belonging, became so much stronger than any type of ambivalence. And she knew that when she got ambivalent, when she got kind of in, out, she knew she had a community to turn to, which becomes essential on this path, because there will be times when we can waver and we can go in and out. And she knew she had her AA community, and she knew she had this community. And she worked one-on-one often with Linda Cook, and they would explore spiritual themes at a very deep level. There was such an opening in her. A couple of weeks ago, she came to me after her sabbatical, and she it was during the week, and she had these two items, this birdhouse and this pumpkin in her hands in the bookstore, and she caught me running to and fro, and she said, I wanted to take a minute and share and give these to you as just a token of how much my life has transformed being here and how instrumental you have been in it. And I said to her, and this is true for all of us, when we really step into belonging in this capacity of everything belongs, our shadow, I mean, she did not shy away from her shadow. She did not shy away from the times when she was questioning, what, you know, if she really did belong or why things had happened in her life the way they did. She was so strong. And I said, you have been the one who has made the choice to transform. You can't do the transformation, but you can make the choice. And you can keep showing up, and you can keep being in practice. And so these gifts are a symbol of your yes. You know, we can show up to church every Sunday and have nothing happen in our life. You know, invitation to belong is one piece. Our willingness to accept it is another. And I said to her, you have. And she said, I know, and my life is just amazing. It's getting more amazing. So I took these back to my office, and then a couple of days later, I got a text from Linda Cook. And she said, you know, I just heard that Kim Harris passed away. This is the woman. And I just, I those moments where you just gasp because you don't think it's true. And, you know, I've really been reflecting on her legacy and in my own life. You know, she's one of those people that I will never be the same after knowing her. Because she had every reason to just say this world was not worth living in, it was awful, she was a victim. I mean, her life story could have given her every excuse, and she said, no, that's not true. And she took a stand for a wholehearted yes. And this last year that she said yes to belonging in every way, belonging to God, belonging to her spiritual path, belonging to spiritual communities that would support her in that, there was so much healing. She had an opportunity to meet with her sister that she hadn't seen for years. There was a light in her eye. I mean, a week before she passed, she got to see her sister. There was just this sense of life that she lived in such a beautiful way because of her choice to say yes wholeheartedly. And again, it wasn't easy. Our yes does not mean that, oh, okay, everything's going to be smoothed out. It means that we are in it. We are connected at a heart level, at a genuine, deep sense of who we truly are. And when we make that heart-centered yes, that wholehearted yes in belonging, you know, things start to move. So don't be surprised when they do. And that's when we lean in even deeper into our spiritual practices, into our community. Because again, what we belong to, and I invite you this week to really pay attention to what you're belonging to. Because it absolutely shapes how you experience yourself, the world, and God. And if there are certain parameters that are actually feeling like they keep you constricted or limited into a certain way of doing things or being, or, oh no, we don't do that, we don't talk about that, I invite you to start to question, is that really my wholehearted yes? Is this my wholehearted yes of belonging? What is a greater, just like when in my experience of my mother passing, you know, instead of trying to replace her, which was what I originally started to try and do, because, you know, we try and meet whatever we think is the perceived problem with what our current paradigm is. Instead of, as you start to look at where am I really belonging, what groups am I belonging to, what's the quality of your belonging? Is it a no, really? Is it an in-out? Is it a wholehearted yes? And is it the highest level of belonging that you can be in? Does it have the essence of everything belongs that is able to embrace the shadow and the light? That doesn't require your belonging to mean that you're putting something in a box. That instead it's actually about cultivating the capacity to live outside of the box. So I invite you to really reflect on that. How and where are you really truly belonging? Does your heart feel at home? And remember, please, Kim's legacy. Life is precious. Every moment is precious. And the choices that we make to live life-affirming lives become so important to everything, to us all. God bless you.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithes and love offerings. To support Unity of Tustin online, please click the Donate button on our homepage. Thank you for listening.